Psalm 4, the fourth psalm, if you please. I'm going to look at three different psalms, Psalm 4, 5, and 6, just a verse from each one. Psalm 4. It's your first day on the job. The boss asks you to write down your hobbies, the things you like to do in your spare time. And so you jot them down and hand it in and say, what was that exercise was about? He said, well, I want to be able to hand this back to you at the end of the year so that you can remember what you used to do when you had some free time. It'll sink in there, all right. I wasn't sure whether to title this sermon Life or Trouble. You can't really separate one from the other. To live is to struggle. As soon as we were born, the doctor smacks us. We have to catch our first breath. And it's not like they let you alone for very long. Everybody's trying to get you to crawl and then to walk and then to talk and say this and do that. Every day they want something new out of you. You grow up, you go off to school. If you do very well in school, they give you harder courses. You do well at work and they give you more responsibility. The world just isn't satisfied until you're stressed. How many are there? The world just isn't satisfied until you're stressed. Thankfully, there's a place we can go. We have a resource as the people of God whenever we're feeling overwhelmed. And we're going to talk about that this morning. Psalm 4:1, 5:1, and 6:3. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord? How long? Father, teach us how to pray. That's what the message is all about today. And not just to pray, but to be authentic with you. We play enough games with one another. Surely we need to be honest when we approach your throne. You see right through us. So God, help us today to scrape off any of the religiosity, any of the ritualism that we have gained with time, and get back to a simpler form of communication. A better way of expressing ourselves to you. And we'll thank you for that help in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the reasons God allows so much trouble to come our way is so that we learn to lean into Him more. Remember the old chorus we used to sing, learning to lean, learning to lean? I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I've ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. That's what life is. It's learning to lean more fully into Christ. Now, later on, the psalmist will give us the proper approach to God. In Psalm 100 and verse 4, he says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. In Psalm 22, verse 3, he says, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. But that's not a hard, fast rule. You ever start praying and then you think, ooh, wait a second, I'm supposed to worship first. Back up the cart a little bit. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this, that, and the other thing. That's not a hard, fast rule, because look at the verses that we're studying this morning. Answer me when I call to you. Consider my sighing. Now, how about that third one? My soul is in anguish. These are songs. Remember that from the Psalms are songs that people would sing. Doesn't that sound like a wonderful worship course? We ought to start our service. My soul is in anguish today. I feel like eating worms and dying. Hallelujah. It just seems something wrong about that, doesn't it? But actually, it's right. That's the word of God. That's a person being honest with their God. You ever put on, I don't know, like a different spiritual clothes because now you're talking to God? Some people even change their voice or suddenly break out into King James. And, you know, O thou. And sometimes I do too. There's nothing wrong with that. But I don't know. These things are blatant cries for help. And if you read through them, they're self-centered. They're all David-centered. He's not talking a lot about God. God's in there, but he's talking about how much pain he is in the moment. And I love that that's okay. I love that God actually put that in the hymnal. It's all right to sing the blues. The blues were not started in the 40s and 50s of America. They were started in, you know, 4,000 years ago with Moses and 2,000 years ago with David. The blues are a part of life. David's saying, I'm in trouble. I need help. God, you said you bless righteous people and you crush sinners. I need you to do that today. I need you to break into this thing. Hurry and help me. I think David almost borders on disrespect. And answer me when I call to you. Give me relief. Have mercy on me. Oh, Lord, come on. Please. David's in covenant with God. He knows that the Lord has made precious promises to him. And he's not above calling on God to keep his word. Lord, you said, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't be making a fuss. But you said this belongs to me. You said, I get this. You ever buy something that comes with a guarantee? If it didn't come with a guarantee, well, that's one thing. But, you know, you ever call them up and say, but it says right here. Well, David did that with God. God, it says right here in your word. And of course, we got to take that in context with everything else that David has to say. David understands that God is great and he's like a worm in comparison to God. David understands that he has no right to ask for more because what he already has is more than he could ever have earned. Remember that prayer of his, who am I and what is my family that you are so mindful of me? I can't get past this. The creator of the universe knows my address. He's concerned with what concerns me. David certainly wouldn't be bossing God around. Well, now, God, you need to do this and you need to do that. But he is expecting God to show up because that's just who God is. Do you know you can get a spiritual disease? You can get a virus, a theological virus. The word says one thing, but you're actually believing another. And every time you hear the truth, this virus fights back with something anti to it. Maybe you never hear these voices. Oh, you can't pray that. Oh, that's selfish. The Lord's not going to be... You should be praying for people who are lost in the Middle East. Shame on you. Oh, so you have a corn on your big toe. Shame on you for asking that work will go. At least you have a job. That's not God's heart. That's not the Bible. We have a psalm we can turn to. I am in anguish, O God. Whatever is anguishing thou at the moment, you can pour that out. God always shows up. God always shows up. You ever have that spiritual virus, that theological virus that, well, yeah, he always did, but this is different. What? Recognize that for what it is and rebuke it in the name of Jesus. That's not the word. That's not truth. Speak truth. Speak the word into your own heart and life. It says in Psalm 5:1, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. God, are you paying attention? Are you listening? I know I ramble on sometimes, Lord, but pay attention to my words. Then consider my sighing. In my pastor prayer group, breakfast group, a good friend of mine lost his parents, his mother some years ago and his father just recently. So we were talking about grief and so on. And he said one thing that kind of bothered him. He'd never cried. He didn't cry at his mom's funeral. He never really cried over the loss of his mother. He's always been trying to figure that out. He said, but one thing I did, I found myself sighing a lot. He caught himself sighing. He understood that that was an expression of his grief. Have you ever tried to get somebody's attention by clearing your throat or coughing a little bit? There's a clerk there, but they're turned the other way, and you've got your packages, and you're ready to go. Try to get somebody. David just sighing. I went through a period myself where Barb would say, what was that sigh for? I'd say, what sigh? Well, you just sigh. I didn't sigh. And then I'd find myself, uh-oh, she was right. I'm sighing. Why am I sighing? You know. And David said, God, focus in on me so close. I'm sighing here. Have you noticed? God notices. Okay, God notices when you sigh. You're having a tough day at work. Things aren't coming together. This just isn't working right. And God says, my son, my daughter is sighing here. We need to do something about this. We have a God who watches over us so closely. He hears our sighing. David was asking the Lord to come close, to listen so very carefully to what was going on. Hear my heartbeat, O God. I'm sighing over here. Did you notice? Someone you love is in distress. Do you care? I know by your word that you do. There's a song, it's not too recent on the radio, but it talks about, you've removed my sin as far as the east is from the west. I know the promises of God, but today it just kind of feels like you're going to leave me in my mess. I know you've delivered me, I know you forgive me, but it just feels like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Father, could you tell me? Could you just remind me? Could you come close? Some of us, we've been in the Lord so long, we think we're no longer children of God and don't have the rights of children. We think, well, it would be wrong for me to question God. Every once in a while, my wife will look me in the eye and she'll say, do you still love me? She has a right to ask that, doesn't she? Sometimes I get a little twinge and think to myself, why did you have to ask? I need to do a better job here. But it's not wrong. Don't little girls still crawl up into their daddy's laps and say, do you love me? Don't even little boys ask their paps, do you love me, pap? Good, I want a new bike. Yeah. God loves the emotion that comes through with our words. He not only listens to our words, but our expressions, our utterance, our sighing. That's good praying. God. If you have kids, they probably do a large percentage of their communicating with you in nonverbal ways. They roll their eyes. They stomp their feet. They slam a door or two. Well, I don't know if it would surprise you or not, but in the New Testament, it says that God speaks groan. Sometimes the Holy Spirit groans through us things that words cannot describe. Sometimes in worship, I come to the end of my words. I'll even say, God, I don't have words. I'm sorry, but you're greater than what I can think right now. And the same is true in sorrow and pain at times. God, this hurts. Let me hear your best frustrated groan. Come on now. I know it's early church. I know we're a little more sedate than the later crowd and all that kind of stuff. But take just a second here to prepare yourself for a good maybe even think about the last thing that really set you off. Now, on the count of three, give me your best groan. One, two, three. No. Come on now. The car in front of you is texting somebody. You sat through a green light. It's turned red again. And you got to get to where you're going. Come on now. One, two, three. Oh, yes. Music to heaven's ears. He says, write a new psalm. I'm surprised there isn't a Psalm 7 that says, God loves it real. He loves it raw. He loves it genuine. You probably didn't know that Chewy is a Pentecostal. Yeah. Some of us need to just have a prayer session with God where we don't even try to use words. You ever have one of those? I'm sure you've had a discussion like that with one of your kids. And they responded, and then you said, remember that when you pray. Remember that Jesus, when he prayed, the book of Hebrews tells us, he did so with loud cries and deep emotion. Jesus, who knew everything is going to be good, had all perfect faith. Man, he got into it when he prayed. He let her fly. Catch this. Maybe the words we use aren't even the most important part of our prayer. I don't know about you, but sometimes I try to be theologically correct when I'm... Well, I usually try to be theologically correct when I'm praying. But sometimes the words we're saying aren't the most important part of our prayer. Body language. Maybe you don't have to kneel down the whole time you're praying or keep your hands folded. Maybe, you know, you could... Be seen as well as heard. It goes against nature to cry out for help in a monotone. Oh, God, we're really in trouble here. You get a little bit of time, we could use $4,329 to pay this electric bill. It goes against nature to have a memorized prayer to cry out to God. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray, dear Lord, my soul to keep. Throw a little holy fit every once in a while. Not disrespectfully, but respectfully, knowing that God has what you need. Ask seek, knock. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep crying, keep groaning before the Lord. Oh, God, I know you have what I need. Go ahead and ask the hard questions of God. You're not going to confound him. Go ahead and ask big. Lord, you said to ask for the nations. And so I'm here today to ask you for our nation. God, come. Verse 4 in Psalm 6 says, turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. Oh, God, turn. I love the next verse too. No one remembers you when he's dead. Who praises you from the grave? Lord, what good is this going to do if this kills me? At least while I'm alive, you have somebody to worship you. I will worship you if you help me live. Great bargaining chip, huh? But, oh, God, I love that line. No one remembers you when he's dead. Who praises you from the grave? Keep this body going so I can worship you. What good am I to you if this kills me? Save me and I'll sing to you. I'll post your praise to everybody I come in contact with. Now, don't think that disrespecting God will go unpunished. Don't start acting like he's your personal servant to send wherever, do whatever you want. Don't go ordering God around, but do expect him to show up and take on things that are attacking you. I get a worry set on my mind, and it kind of chews away a little bit, and then I pray. And I feel like the Holy Spirit checks up on me through the day. You worrying about that? Didn't you pray about that? You trust me or not? You going to keep worrying about that? And sometimes I need to pray more, of course, till the burden lifts. But God's testing me. Joel, do you trust me? Oh, more bad news just came in. God, did you? Joel, do you trust me? And if you really trust me, there will be peace. There will be joy. I don't know why it went this way. I don't know what they're thinking. But God, I believe you're in charge. You will have your way. And I will give you praise through it all. I love when God rebukes Israel in the Old Testament for not bringing their problems to him. Isn't that wild? Wow. How many love it when other people bring their problems to you? Oh, the more the better. Please. Just one more way. God is not like you. God loves it when you bring your needs, your problems to him, when you lay them at his feet. He really wants to hear about my troubles and my woes. He's a good, good father. Worship is a wonderful approach to God, and I recommend that 99% of the time. Because a lot of times when I've worshiped God well, my request is already taken care of. But when you pray, get to the point of your prayer. This is why I'm here today, God. This is what I need. And when you get there, pray like you mean it. Don't just throw the, well, God, I did say it. Put your heart into your, let your tone, your volume, if appropriate, your emotions reflect how badly you need relief. The purpose of this message is to free you from the misconception that you're going to break God if you get too loud in front of him. You're not going to hurt the Lord by getting emotional. You're not going to upset him by being upset in his presence. What he wants is you to be authentic, for you to be real. He actually loves it when you're raw. You can clean up the mess later. But he already knows where you're at. He already hears your thoughts. Come into his presence. Come into his courts real. Speak the truth in love. Don't think that God is all about facts and quotes from Scripture. If I can shape my request in just such a way, I've heard incantations. I reject all incantations from believers. Well, you have to use this phrase in your prayer or it's not a valid prayer. You need to start with this, you need to end with that. Put that in your prayer. No. God hears the heartbeat. If he understands, how theologically correct can a groan be? How articulate is that? James wrote to us in chapter 5 of his book, his epistle. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. So that seems pretty natural, doesn't it? I mean, are you trouble? Pray. Happy? Sing. Sick? Get prayed for. We don't have to be so high church minded. Simple. You got trouble? Pray. Sick, ask somebody to pray for you. Happy, go ahead and sing. Shame on us. I love when I'm in the store and little kids will just be dancing down the aisle for all their work, you know, twirling around and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then sure enough, one of the parents is like, hey, stop that. No, keep it up. We ought to join her. We ought all be doing that. Are you happy? Sing. You got some joy? Do a little dance. Dance like nobody else. The older I get, it's not just hot flashes that come, but I'm in my own little world anymore. In the middle of Walmart, walking out, I'm talking to God, and I'm talking to him out loud. If people can do it with those little bugs in their ear, I can do it to God. I'm about as graceful as an elephant when it comes to dancing, but every once in a while, you'll see me dance now. Because I don't care who's watching anymore. I don't care who's looking anymore. Good looks are not a part of my life any longer, so it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter I'm looking good or not. You joyful? Dance. Sing a song out to God. Be real. Be authentic. We check our emotions at the door so often. We'll use them for everything else but communicating to God. You know how many churches are meeting today and everybody's got their prude face on and a baby makes a noise and, oh, a baby made a noise in church today. And somebody got up to use, oh, somebody got up to use the restroom, you know. I heard somebody laughing. Oh, you don't laugh in church. I'm surprised the fire didn't fall, you know. Oh, we got to be so stoic when we go to church. Who came up with that? That is not biblical at all. Amen. Amen. We're supposed to be, this is my father's house. How do you act in your dad's house? I remember when Josh was just a little boy, probably a preschooler at the time, he came running into the living room and he had all these treasures. You know, Dad would give him his old watches and, you know, all kind of stuff that was, you know, just junk that was laying around. And Josh said, well, it was a treasure. And Josh ran in, his hands full, and he looked at Barb and I and he said, I can have anything in this house I want. Woo! You know, and it was true. This is my father's house. Hallelujah. We may have come in burdened. We may have come in heavy. Ooh, it's my father's house. And he has for me everything that I need. If I go home still needing, it's my fault. He'll meet me here. He'll heal my wound. Oh, maybe I'm too stoic to let you know I'm hurting. Maybe I'm too stoic for you to think I'm not spiritual today. Shame on me. Oh, I don't want to go to the altar today. Well, what do people think if I do? We have an audience of one, my friends. An audience of one. And He's all that matters. Did you come here to see me today? No. You came here to be with Him today. So be here with Him while you're here. And let Him minister. And you go ahead and minister to Him. Now, it's true that some people need to be told more content, less emotion, you know. But not most of us. Not most of us. Get a little life in your prayer life, in your relationship with, even with, in your relationship with your brothers and sisters. You know, that is one thing about grief that I noticed. Families get closer together when they walk through these things. Whereas a month before, it mattered who did what or who got what. It doesn't matter any longer. You realize we only have each other for a very limited time. I only have a short time to tell you I love you and I care about you. I don't want our last session together to be upset. I want our last session together to be joyful and loving. And it's important that we live life that way. I wonder how many people will ask God someday, why didn't you answer my prayer? I said, well, it didn't seem all that important. I was dying! Well, you didn't look like it. You got more emotion over your team losing on a Saturday than the fact that your spouse was in the hospital. You seem to care more about that than this. I think the Lord's going to say to some of us one of these days, I gave you emotions for a reason, but you never seemed to use them when you needed them the most. Get loud. Get soft. Groan. Agonize. Give birth to your petition. Oh, God. Oh, God. Get a good burden until God lifts it off of you. How often we read that Jesus was moved with compassion. They came, they cried, He was moved with compassion. Remember the Syrophoenician woman? Oh, my daughter is, she's suffering so much, please. I was sent to the children of Israel. We don't throw the bread to the dogs. True, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from under. He was moved. He said, wow, what great faith. Your daughter's healed. Your daughter's healed. Invoke some compassion from God by the way you offer your request. Don't just cry. Cry out to Jesus. Dispense with the formalities every once in a while and just assail heaven. Challenge the Lord to honor His promises to you. Give birth to a petition. Oh, Lord, hear our prayer. Oh, God, draw close. I need you today. Any sick among us today? Anybody in trouble or distress? Do you have a need? Let's cry out to God. Would you stand with me this morning? All things are possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, love you so much. Thanks for your grace and your understanding. Thanks for hearing our groans and our sighing. Lord, today, meet with us eyeball to eyeball. Don't let us go home wrong. Don't let us leave out of joint, Lord God. But fill us with you. Lord, fill us with you. And we'll be thankful for it forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Shake hands and be friendly. Love somebody on your way out.